Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is a podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from generous genies to gentle giants. And today, we're covering Gibbering Mouthers.
Yay. Prepare yourselves.
What time is it, Brian?
It's time to do the Dungeon Cast.
Well, yeah, it's that. It's October time. It's spooky time.
Spooky boys, we're back.
Yeah, we're back on our annual October Spookfest. It has begun.
It has begun,
and we are kicking it off with a horrifying abomination with a real Lovecraftian flavor: the Gibbering Mouther.
Delicious.
Of all the terrors created by foul sorcery, and as we've spoken of, quite a few monsters are created by foul sorcery and experimentation, Gibbering Mouthers are among the most wicked and depraved. These horrible creatures are seemingly drawn from a lunatic's nightmares. Although not technically evil beings, Gibbering Mouthers instinctively thirst for bodily fluids and seem to prefer...
Just like all of them?
all of them fluids. And they seem to prefer the blood of intelligent creatures.
Okay.
Which honestly sounds pretty evil, but these guys have been labeled either neutral alignment or unaligned since at least second edition.
Okay.
They serve little true purpose beyond spreading murder and madness, mouthing nonsensical yet disturbing verses and phrases, but most horrifying of all, to fall to a Gibbering Mouther is to become part of the Gibbering Mouther.
Oh no.
A new voice in mind added to the cacophony of madness and driven by an all-consuming need to devour and add more unto itself.
Is that like Illithid Hive Mind? Were they kind of like similar in that way where they had like slaves that were part of the web of mental...
No, mind flayers have thralls.
Yeah,
and so it's just like a charm. They do have a mind hive that they are like inherently tied to with an elder brain.
Yeah,
this
I thought
is
of different. That.
This is like a blob monster.
Yeah,
this
okay. Is, so you to become it, you is become, to become, you part become blob. Of it,
yeah. we'll talk a little bit more about like what I think the Gibbering Mouther is inspired by
okay. In
a minute here. So the Gibbering Mouther is a creature... a composite creature of countless eyes, mouths, and liquefied visceral matter of its former victims.
Okay.
This unwholesome creature has a body with the form and fluidity of an amoeba. Its surface has the color but not quite the consistency of human flesh. The countless eyes and toothy mouths within it constantly form and disappear all over the creature, often retreating into its body even as they become apparent.
Like the mouth, it like shows up and then goes into the body.
The thousands of mouths.
The thousands of mouths.
It's like this roiling mass of flesh, teeth, and eyes.
That reminds me of Envy from Full Metal Alchemist when it goes like
kinda
full body and it's got all those faces.
Yeah, kind of. This is less faces though.
It's just mouths.
It's just mouths and eyes all over the place.
Yum, yum.
Indeed. So where was I? The Gibbering Mouther's body is an amorphous mass of mouths and eyes that propels itself by oozing forward, fastening several mouths to the ground and pulling its bulk behind it.
I gotta bite the earth to move. Basically. Oh, the teeth. Oh, my teeth.
Driven to insanity by the destruction of their bodies and absorption into the mouther, the victims gibber incoherent madness, forced to consume everything in reach. Indeed, their gibbering has become has some eldritch effect on those who can hear it and can cause confusion and even temporary madness.
Yeah, because they're just like doing a filibuster all by them onesies.
Yeah, basically.
Nasty. What are these names of this phone book I've never heard?
There are essentially two origin theories on the gibbering mouther. Most sources say they are the creation of evil magic users, whether as a form of punishment to their foes, a perverse curiosity of experimentation, or the psychotic urge to create horrifying minions. It's not really specified, like, the reason. I guess the reason could be any of those things.
Okay.
Some sources tell that these creatures are from the far realm. It is said when an intelligent humanoid dies in a place that has been touched by or is close to the far realm, a gibbering mouther can spontaneously arise from the body of the fallen.
Okay. So, they like snake tongue to like find the intelligent creature nearby or something like that from their mouths. And like,
No. I'm just saying that the far realm itself can create these things if someone dies near a place touched by the far realm.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then it just like is a fucking langolier and like cleaning shit up.
I guess so. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So 4E, 4th edition even goes as far to claim that mouthers and mouthers and higher, more powerful versions of the mouther dwell within the far realm, like they're a native creature to the place.
Totally, okay. Yeah.
Wandering the places between planes in search of living things to consume. Though they can vary in size, a gibbering mouther averages about 3 feet across and 3 to 4 feet high, and they weigh roughly 200 pounds.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
This thing's like almost an honorary ooze or slime.
Yeah, it's kind of an honorary ooze, yeah. It's an ooze, but grosser.
It's the far realm Roomba.
It's the far realm Roomba. Oh, God, that's what it is. I love it. The far realm Roomba.
Hey, I think they're going to make, speaking of room Roomba, remember, I think a familiar that's a slime.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a Roomba.
Yeah.
I think they're making that a thing. Like they're statting it out. Like they're adding new familiars. Ooh, and nice. Tasha's.
Yes, please give me my miniature.
I think they did it.
Can't wait to see it.
Hell yeah.
Got to check it out.
Now it can be one of these.
Yeah.
A familiar that just like runs around like spouting nonsense. A little your body.
Gibbering mouth through. That's horrifying, but
you
also
constantly have like random bite marks on you from it moving.
It's kind of hilarious. I like that. So if the gibbering mouther is said to be based off of any creature outside of Dungeons and Dragons, I think the Shoggoth from the Cthulhu mythos is the obvious candidate.
Okay.
Lovecraft describes them as massive amoeba-like creatures made out of iridescent black slime with multiple eyes floating on the surface. Mm-hmm. They are protoplasmic, lacking any default body shape, and instead being able to form limbs and organs at will. A typical Shoggoth measures 15 feet across when a sphere, though the story they're from mentions the existence of others of greater size. Being amorphous, Shoggoths can take on any shape needed, making them very versatile within aquatic environments. Here is a quote describing one of them from the story The Mountains of Madness. A shapeless... Oh God, I told myself to remember how the fuck this word is pronounced, and I don't. Because I wrote these notes 3 weeks ago.
How dare you?
Gosh.
Do your fucking best right now, dog.
Congeries?
Do you need a second? Because I can totally talk about...
I think
about...
I need a second.
Okay.
Because I knew this, and now I don't know it, and it's upsetting me. You're supposed to be talking.
I know, but I blanked on what I was supposed to say after I was like, okay, I have a thing I want to talk about, and then we moved on to start talking
hold
about
on,
something
hold on.
Else.
I got Google. Google's going to tell me.
Conjuries.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
I'm leaving that audio in.
Yeah,
that
no,
great.
Absolutely. A shapeless congeries of protoplasmic bubbles, faintly self-luminous, and with myriads of temporary eyes forming and unforming as pustules of greenish light all over the tunnel-filling front that bore down upon us, crushing the frantic penguins and slithering over the glistening floor that it and its kind had swept so evilly free of all litter.
Oh my gosh.
That's the explanation of the Shoggoth, which I think is very reminiscent of the gibbering mouther.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really talk. It does talk, actually, in the story. It's has like this weird chant it's repeating, but it's not like a billion voices like the gibbering mouther.
Yeah. They lean into the talking aspect of it, I guess. I did remember what I was going to say, where I was supposed to say it in the blank space.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking about old school with Frank the Tank, and it's like this thing could just grow a liver. So it could tank alcohol.
I vaguely remember that movie.
Well, there's a scene where Will Ferrell hits the beer bong really hard a bunch, and he gets wasted, and he strips, and he streaks through
this town.
Okay.
And his wife sees him out and picks him up or whatever. Uh-huh. I don't know. I was just thinking, like, if you were at a frat party and you wanted to drink somebody under the table, you could, your Shoggoth could grow a liver and do it for you.
It could. Oh, because it can grow organs.
Yeah. Okay. Spontaneously, I was like, ooh, it could grow liver. It could grow livers to tank alcohol.
Interesting. Gotcha. All right. Like, well, when a gibbering mouth or senses prey, its mouths begin to murmur and chatter, each with a different voice, deep or shrill, wailing or ululating?
Did you say ululating?
Yeah, ululating.
You know, when you hear the ghostly, ghastly ululations.
Yeah, crying out in agony or ecstasy. I got to start making notes for my notes at this point.
Can you imagine walking through a fucking, like, a thin area, like a far realm adjacent place, and you hear, oh my God.
Oh, shit. It's a gibbering mouther.
It can only be a... There's either somebody really horny in the cemetery or there's a gibbering mouther.
It's one of the
Everybody
two.
Run either
and
way.
I'm not sure which is worse.
We have to get out of here.
The cacophonous gibbering overcomes the senses of any creature that hears it, causing most to flee in terror, as we were just discussing.
Mm-hmm.
Others are overcome with madness or stand paralyzed, fixated on the horrific creature as it oozes forward to consume them.
Oh, God.
So, driven to devour any creature it can reach, a gibbering mouther flows over victims transfixed by its mad ranting. Its multitudinous voices temporarily silenced as it gnaws and swallows living flesh.
That's a fun monster to roleplay for a dungeon master.
I know, it really
You just
is.
Have to write like 8 fucking lines of dialogue to rotate between.
It doesn't even have to say anything coherent. It can just make noises.
Yeah.
Yeah. The monster liquefies stone with which it comes into contact, hindering creatures that overcome its gibbering in an attempt to flee. A gibbering mouther leaves nothing of its prey behind. However, even as the last of the victim's body is consumed, its eyes and mouth boil to the surface, ready to join the chorus of tormented gibbering that welcomes the monster's next meal.
It's a Christmas chorus of gibbering mouthers. It's just one gibbering mouther.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
That is really scary.
Can you imagine a Kenku player, like a PC, role playing alongside a DM gibbering mouther.
Oh my
That'd
God.
That'd be fucking hilarious. One dude's got a soundboard on his fucking phone. He's just going for it.
Yeah.
With the sword noise over and over again.
Yeah. That's really cool. I like that idea. All right. I think it's time for a short rest.
Oh, dang. Let's do it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga, a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and set in space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
Do we have?
Will, that's a nice shirt. Where'd you get it?
Got it on our Teespring store, sir.
If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening audio only, like a podcast app or something like that, mm-hmm. You won't be able to see Will's cool Super Quest Saga shirt. Mm-hmm, it's white and it's got the Super Quest Saga big dragon and text on it. And
it does.
I'm wearing a similar shirt, William. The same exact shirt except black.
Yep, that's exactly right.
I got it from teespring.com/store/thedungeoncast. There's notes below.
It's the links in description. But yeah.
And check out Super Quest Saga if you have it, because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Let's get back to the Gibbering Mouther.
Let's do it.
So a Gibbering Mouther can actually eat virtually anything, whether the food is animal, vegetable, or even mineral. While it prefers animal tissue, preferably still alive and kicking, the Mouther can also absorb and make use of most metals and minerals. This is a consequence of its strange metabolism. Virtually anything can be incorporated into its makeup or used as a life-giving nutrient. If there's no animal or plant tissue available, a Mouther can change its metabolism so as to sustain itself by absorbing other material.
Okay.
If they actually swallow or absorb it, Mouthers can dissolve and utilize any material except for glass, diamond, adamantite, and mithril. These materials are resistant to all the Mouther's corrosive secretions and are eventually expelled.
I like the glass thing. Like, so if there's, well, I guess the cork. But I was thinking if they consumed a potion of healing or something like that.
Oh, yeah, there is the cork.
But they would dissolve the cork and then the liquid would
get out. But if it had like a glass seal.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
Like a decanter?
Well, no, like I guess like a decanter or like what are those vials, the ones that you break the tip off of? They're not decanters. They're called something else. Ampules. That's what they're called.
Ampules.
Yeah, ampules. Like an ampule would be completely immune.
Like one of the fucking, like Richter.
Just throw an ampule in there.
Like Richter from Castlevania or whatever. He throws like a fucking one of those things and it in Smash Bros. And it like blows up. And
oh, that's every Castlevania character. They throw holy water. Yeah, but I don't think it's an ampule.
That's what I was wondering. But
it could be.
In Constantine, they're ampules. Because he, in the movie Constantine with Keanu Reeves, he takes out holy water ampules and breaks them on himself to like.
Oh, yeah,
get
out
of hell or whatever it is he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, metabolically, the Mouther is as confused as its appearance implies. Though it doesn't breathe in the traditional sense, some parts of its body require oxygen and some do not. As a consequence, it is...
what the fuck? You either do or you don't. So it either does require oxygen or it doesn't. So part of it can be underwater, just like me.
As a consequence, it is impossible to asphyxiate a Mouther. Let me explain and then you'll understand.
I like that.
It simply shifts to anaerobic respiration so that it no longer requires oxygen.
Okay.
Similarly, poisonous gases are ineffective, though it isn't reflected in the 5e Monster Manual because I checked. I went to go see if it was like immune to poison. It's not.
So one being a dumbass can get choked by poison gas.
Hmm?
So you could...
If it was a dumb gibbering mouther its metabolism.
I'm just going to take a deep breath. Like, wait for it to take a deep breath, then do it, and that's the only way.
Right. Well, again, the 5e Monster Manual doesn't reflect this, so again, they might have just changed this lore. Like, when I get into what I like about these, sources where I get like the anatomy. Uh-huh. Like shit gets really weird because they try and explain like magical stuff with like like a biological mechanism.
Well, because you can probably I'm picturing it kind of translucent, so you can see what's going on inside of it.
No,
it's like skin.
You should pull up a picture of the gibbering mouth, so you know what we're looking at here.
I'm all over it.
Yeah,
because I was thinking like, if it swallowed an ampule with something important, you could like bait the party into trying to split this thing wide open. You know what I mean?
You'd have to kill it to get it back
out. It's like probably a mimic chest.
Or I could see getting pushed out, because I picture the gibbering mouther is like constantly shifting.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but it's nowhere near translucent.
Okay, so yeah, I can see.
It's like reddish.
This is like a fleshy.
Yeah.
This is a blob of flesh.
Exactly.
This looks like Pizza the Hut from Spaceballs, but like after they boil them in the car or whatever.
Yes, sure, that, exactly.
If you left Pizza the Hut in a hot car on like a summer day while you're shopping at Home Depot,
exactly,
like, this is what you'd come back to.
Right. So for the most part, gibbering beasts speak complete nonsense. Occasionally, though, a gibbering... So I'm actually... Did I skip this? I must have put this out of order, because gibbering beasts are about to be explained in a couple paragraphs.
Is that separate from a gibbering mouther?
Yes, because it's 4E specific lore.
It's like the gibbering mouther's dog. It's like a gibbering beast.
No, it's super not that.
It's rolling around like, woof, 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 woof.
I really like that idea, but no, it's super not that. So, for the most part, gibbering beasts speak complete nonsense. Occasionally, though, a gibbering beast will speak an intelligible word or phrase, usually mingled with its mad gibbering. The word or phrase can be a clue or warning, or it could just be something of no importance whatsoever.
The duck! Blah, blah, blah.
Gibbering mouthers can reproduce through binary fission, much like an amoeba, but only when well-fed and once it grows to an appropriate size. When ready, the mouther will hide in a secure area while performing this process, since it can take up to 4 hours to complete. One mouther becomes two smaller mouthers. Once split, the two mouthers would move. The two mouthers do move away from each other. Offspring have the full powers of an adult from the outset of their creation. When a mouther divides its mouth and eyes, when a mouther divides its eye, mouth and eyes are shared evenly between its offspring. When a mouther has insufficient food or must live on minerals alone, it does not reproduce.
I like the idea. I came up with this whole scenario of maybe a Far Realm room or something like that, or area. It's like like an Ouroboros of gibbering mouthers, like cycling around. Like they one eats another and then gets big enough to split, and then just like splits into like
two.
Right, but they're just eating each other and
splitting. Yeah, no, I can see that. It's just like the main mass of the Ouroboros is constantly shifting down the line.
I call it the Ouroborifice. It's Ouroboros and orifice.
Put together. Mouth. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Good joke.
I did it.
So 4E gibbering mouthers do not seem to reproduce in the same way as I just described. You know, 4E has to do everything differently.
Trying to flex.
Instead, they have a phased life cycle in which once they have consumed enough sentient beings, they grow and transform to a more powerful and massive gibbering monstrosity. Okay. So this is a gibbering beast. It's referring to all the different phases of the gibbering mouther.
Okay.
A gibbering mouther is a gibbering beast, but not all gibbering beasts are gibbering mouthers.
Yeah, arcane focus, arcane...
Yeah, that one.
Whatever the other one is.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Sure. Spellcasting focus.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Nerd.
The base creature is a gibbering mouther, much like the one we've described thus far in the episode. Its second stage of life, though, is called a gibbering abomination. This creature is much larger than an average mouther, with multiple long tentacles it can extend to grasp and attack victims with and even walk upon. The abomination also gains a psionic visual power called its eyes of despair that can cause psychic damage to the target and render them unable to move.
Okay.
The mouther's final stage of life is an entity known as a gibbering orb. Gibbering orbs are in the huge size category. They also gain the ability to levitate, hovering through dungeons and the far realm, touch places of the world completely unaffected by gravity.
It's a fucking beholder.
Yeah. Gibbering orbs are so massive and have so many mouths that it can actually spare more than a few, leaving mouths attached to victims it bites.
Oh, what?
Which can then keep biting independent of their host's body.
You just have fucking chatter teeth, you know, with the little feet like on your body.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like nomming you on my elbow.
Furthermore, unlike a mouther, a gibbering orb has managed to coalesce its many intelligences into a consciousness beyond human comprehension. And rather than being functionally mindless, they are instead hyper-intelligent.
Okay.
Finally, gibbering orbs develop eye-ray powers akin to that of a beholder. The 4E gibbering orb has six different I-beams. Mind-carving ray, flesh-eating ray, bone-warping ray, blood-feasting ray, far-sending ray, and soul-eating ray.
Okay.
Now, 5E has not promoted the stats for either the gibbering abomination or the gibbering orb, but fuck, I hope they do.
I
want a gibbering orb. Give me a gibbering orb, 5E.
I'm on the fence.
No, I think it's fucking cool.
Maybe there's going to be like a Monster Manual 2, maybe some at
like,
some point.
Well, maybe they'll do like a Far Realm-based module or book or something like that, and we'll get like Far Realmish stuff.
They always sprinkle a little bit of stuff I want into modules, like new spells or new monsters. Yeah. So it'd be cool to consolidate them, kind of like Tasha's is going to do with the UA stuff. But like,
right.
Yeah, who knows when that?
Yeah,
will
it's 5E has really scattered things, but honestly, that's kind of D&D's MO since before 4th edition.
Drag it out.
3.5 was a lot like that. Stuff was scattered.
There's books 4E on books
stuff
on books.
Was less scattered, but 4E had its own problems.
I know they're going to do three new modules next year they're going to redo old modules, but I don't know what other books are going to come 5E? Out next year. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right. Well, do you have any questions about the gibbering mouther before we jump into the stat block?
How likely are you to put the Ouroboros into your game? Far Realm game.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 0.
Okay. I just think, like, you walk in and you see a whirlpool of, like, these rolling, fleshy, mouthing...
Well, but mostly it doesn't make sense in my canon, because in my canon, gibbering orbs are a thing. So that many mouthers, we're getting to gibbering orb territory.
Okay, cool. It's like the dwarf star of gibbering things.
Dwarf star?
Like when the star explodes and it just becomes a small...
Sure, yeah. I guess so. That.
Because you said it was the end life cycle.
It is the end of its life cycle, yeah.
Okay, so I had one more thing. You get a table, a random table of like 20 or more, whatever, 10, I don't know, different types of voices, mm-hmm. and you roll on the table as you're role-playing the gibbering mouther to see what accent you have to do like at any given time.
I like that. That's fun.
So
like
we've got a Scottish guy and a French dude. Mm-hmm. And a little girl and a dog.
Woof.
Woof. That's incoherent gibber.
Mm-hmm.
It's woof, woof.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't understand it.
And then you hear dogs barking while a little girl cries and a Scottish guy is really pissed about how much, how little beer selection there is in this
bar or
something like that.
You could do that. Yeah.
And then throw in like a couple other tropes. I guess the only thing you can't do is like mimes. You can't really do mimes.
It's more of a gibbering troper than a gibbering mouther.
Gibbering troper.
You ready for that stat
block?
Yeah,
ready for the stat block.
Tell me about the gibbering mouther. The
gibbering mouther is a medium aberration of neutral alignment. Its armor class is only 9, as it is just a big, fat sack of stuff.
I feel like it should be unaligned alignment, not a neutral alignment. That's just me.
Okay, there are unaligned. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, hit points are 67. Okay. The speed is 10 feet of movement. A swim speed of 10 feet.
Oh, okay. It could swim, kind of. It could float over.
It just has to move its inner stuff to
it's
the back
like
and then
gnashing
back forward.
Its teeth to like create like...
Oh, just like like 10 mouths on the back. Oh, God. The Dixie boat from hell. Or worse. Okay. We got conditions. It cannot be prone. Or
well,
it's always
I mean,
prone.
It's always prone. Yeah.
So therefore, it is not. Yeah. Okay. It's got dark vision of 60 feet. Whatever.
Okay.
Passive perception of 10. It doesn't do language, although that seems wrong.
No, it doesn't do language. It only gibbers nonsensically. There is no language. It neither understands what you say to it, nor is it saying anything to you.
So you're not really getting any like actual lines of speech in there, like how it's
you kinda, are, but it's just saying
it doesn't understand them.
It doesn't understand the things that it's saying.
So where is it getting it from?
It's saying that because it's from the past lives of the things it's absorbed.
Okay, okay. So it's using the old soul.
Sure.
All right. Challenge rating 2. The aberrant. Okay, we're getting into stuff it can do. So aberrant ground. The ground in a 10-foot radius around the mouther is dough-like, difficult terrain. Ooh, it gets all soft and squishy.
Yeah, this is that whole Far Realm thing that they're kind of going with. Or you could spin it as it's the acid it's secreting.
Making the ground all soft?
Yeah, you could do... I don't remember what the feature's called, but I think you could go either way.
I feel like if it's secreting an acid that can warp the ground, that you probably... It should probably have some adverse effects if you walk in it.
Yeah.
Each creature that starts its turn in that area must succeed on a DC 10 strength saving throw or have its speed reduced to 0 until the start of its next turn.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could also just be like, yeah, the potency of it wears off because it did it to the ground.
Sure.
Yeah, there we go. Whatever. Yeah. Figured out.
Whatever.
Gibbering. The mouther babbles incoherently while it can see any creature and isn't incapacitated. Each creature that starts its turn within 20 feet of the mouther and can hear the gibbering must succeed on a DC 10 wisdom saving throw. Man, that's a panic option for a player to be like, no, I stuffed my ears with cloth.
Right.
Nope, you fail. On a failure, the creature can't take reactions until the start of its next turn and rolls a D8 to determine what it does during its turn. On a 1-4, the creature does nothing. On a 5 or 6, the creature takes no action or bonus action and uses all its movement to move in a randomly determined direction. On a 7 or 8, the creature makes a melee attack against a randomly determined creature within its reach or does nothing if it can't make such an attack.
Madness.
Yeah, just
I like that.
Act crazy.
Yeah.
But on a 1-4, you don't do anything. So yeah, you're probably just going to chill.
40% chance to chill.
Negating turns for a armor class 9, 67 hit point creature is pretty good.
Yeah, this is where we get into, like, if you were trying to use this as a boss creature for, like, level 1s.
Oh, yeah.
It could go perfectly or it could go disastrously.
Yeah, this thing could go way too hard.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is the barbarian to attack the wizard and it's once. Over.
Yeah, exactly.
So we got a multi-attack on this bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
Want to make a guess on what it does with its multi?
Bite?
Yeah. The gibbering mouther makes one bite attack, and if it can, uses its binding spittle.
It also has binding spittle. Tell me what binding spittle does.
So I'll tell you bites first since okay. It's in that order. Sure. It's probably relevant to have it this way. So it's a melee weapon attack of +2 to hit with a reach of 5 feet, which I imagine is like a proboscis with a mouth on the end of it that comes out to almost like a slime. What's the black pudding comes out with the tendrils?
They have the pseudopods. Yeah.
Pseudopods. That's what it is. Okay. The hit. Oh, God. It's 17 piercing damage. Okay, randomly high. If the target is medium or smaller, it must succeed on a DC 10 strength saving throw or be knocked prone. If the target is killed by this damage, it is absorbed into the mouther, much like an ooze, right? Like ooze can absorb people?
Some oozes can. I'm not sure which ones are specific, but this pudding? One literally makes you part of it.
Okay, yeah, that's wild. So it basically rolls over, it Roombas you up.
Well, the gelatinous cube will just dissolve you.
That's what it is, the gelatinous cube. Binding spittle, recharge of 5 or 6. I said recharge.
Mm-hmm.
The mouther spits a chemical glob at a point it can see within 15 feet of it. The glob explodes in a blinding flash of light on impact. That's weird. And each creature...
So is it blinding spittle or binding spittle?
Oh, it's blinding spittle. Okay. I had dyslexia. Okay. Sorry. The glob explodes in a blinding flash of light on impact. Each creature within 5 feet of the flash must succeed on a DC 13 dexterity saving throw or be blinded or binded until the end of the mouther's next turn.
Being blind is pretty brutal, and like so, all you can do is hear, and what you're hearing is this nonsensical horror show that's like making you go crazy.
Right, so you're gonna get disadvantage on your weapon attacks, or all of your stuff.
That's a brutal monster. I would love to run a horror game with level ones, and the gibbering mouther's the boss. Like, and everyone might wipe, but it's a horror game, so like, there it goes.
Everyone, it makes sense for everybody to wipe in a horror game.
Yeah,
I have a question for you as a dungeon master involving on the topic of blindness.
Yeah,
Let's take this situation, mm-hmm. or maybe it not be the best because it's a gibbering mouther, but the point is, if you are blind, you have disadvantage on attacks.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody is blind, let's say they cast darkness spell and you're fighting in darkness, does everybody just have disadvantage on attacks? Because I see some people argue that nobody, it kind of cancels out and then you just have regular... Everybody's just regular.
No, everyone has disadvantage on attacks.
That's what I would think. Yeah. I've seen some...
Because everyone's fucking blind.
I'm going to look up a Reddit thing after the episode. But I just wanted to ask you that. That's
even while I think the argument might be like, well, at that point, what you are effectively mechanically doing is just slowing down the fight.
Right.
And if you really want to avoid that, then I guess you can say, well, it all evens out, so we just pretend like, you know...
We'll just do one roll instead of two.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really like that. But I can understand why someone would do that. I wouldn't, though.
Okay. Yeah. That's it for the stat block.
Okay.
So well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I like I said, I really like it. I'd like to run a horror game with that as a boss for like a low level one.
Yeah.
This
has some implications, right? If you're using this monster on what is going on in your campaign, because this thing doesn't randomly show up.
Yes and no. It depends on how much you want to lean into the Far Realm thing. This could just be the foul creation of a mad wizard, though.
That's true.
It doesn't necessarily
from the Far Realm, or
well, just made it out of a dude.
Out of so many
fucking
dudes.
Tormented. Yeah, like five dudes. So it started as a smallmouther and then he grew it.
I was just throwing the heads of my victims into the slime and...
And it just this came crawling out.
I did a flesh spell on it.
And, well, I like that. That's a see. It doesn't have to be from the far realm. It doesn't. Just like that.
It can be. It can also bind instead of blind. And when it spits on you, you get stuck to the wall like a Spider-Man web shot.
Sure. Let's take a long rest.
Okay. Will, do you hear that?
Oh God, I do.
Oh God, I hear a lot of it.
What are your slippies doing this time?
They're splitting.
Oh no. I guess you do need to.
They're biting me.
Oh God, no.
I can't get them off. My ankles will.
They also won't shut up.
They won't shut the hell up. just kidding. What's up? We got a contest winner. We can finally announce you. Congratulations to the winner of our rhyme of the Frostdale Icewind Maiden. I just fucked that up so bad.
Oh, yeah. You just said a bunch of words.
Butchered it. The one with the owl on it?
It was Rhyme of the Frost Maiden.
Rhyme of the Frost Maiden, set in Icewind Dale.
Yes.
Shout out to Ari Salvatore. Mm-hmm.
The newest D&D module to just come out. And we were doing a contest where we were giving one away, and someone won. So who won, Brian?
Nancy Luo, who is Fancy and Wonder on Twitter. On Twitter. Jesus. Well, I think she's Fancy and Wonder on Twitter also, but Fancy and Wonder on Instagram.
Congratulations, Nancy. Hope you enjoy the module. I see that you already got your book.
Yeah, you got your book. She's waiting. I think she got the minis and she's waiting for the dice. Production on the dice was delayed.
Oh.
A while back.
Oh.
So the release day got pushed out like a week or
whatever. Okay,
so
but it'll that's what's coming get to last. Her once they're made.
I think it should be getting there today or tomorrow.
Oh, so okay.
You know,
okay.
Whatever.
Cool,
yeah.
cool.
It's pretty much. There it is.
Sounds good.
And with the death of a contest, out of the ashes rises another contest.
It's true. It's true.
More like a vampire, less like a phoenix.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That. We're giving away two copies of Curse of Strahd Revamped.
Revamp. Get it? Vamp?
Uh-huh.
Like vampire.
I get it. Yes, I get it.
Okay.
They did on purpose. we are giving away on Halloween night, and in order to enter, there's basically kind of two congruent contests running at the same time.
Yeah, because the way we do the Instagram one kind of skewed it, so you were more likely to win there for sure.
Yeah.
So we're going to just separate them up.
Now we got a Twitter contest and an Instagram contest. Yeah. And if you want to enter the contest on Twitter, all you have to do is share a link to an episode of one of our shows with the hashtag DungeonCast. And if you do that before Halloween night, you'll be entered to win, and I'll be drawing out a name off the list on Halloween night.
That's also for every other social media that isn't Instagram. You can send proof to anywhere you can get a hold of us, but probably the dungeoncast@gmail.com is the best place.
Yep.
And you'll get lumped in with that contest. And then the Instagram contest is the same as the Rhyme of the Frostmane one if you entered that. Tag a friend. One friend per comment gets you one entry. So yeah, you can enter a bunch of times. The whole point of all these contests is to help spread the word about the show.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks you guys so much for doing that. We've been getting a lot of great iTunes reviews and Podbean comments, and SoundCloud stuff has been coming in too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We see all of that stuff and we really appreciate everybody that gives us some feedback or, you know, just tells us how much they appreciate what we're doing, which we've been getting a lot of really nice messages, especially in our inbox of people, you know, saying that our podcast helps them through dark times and things like that. And it's really nice to hear that stuff. So thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. Will and I work really hard on the show. So to have people appreciate it and listen to it is great. So, yeah, tell people about D&D and our show. And we've got a series called DD5 on YouTube that's meant to help people get into D&D or like help
explain it quickly and concisely.
Yeah, it's hard for a new player that's not used to fantasy to get hit with like 30 minutes of YouTube video about whatever, like fucking now you got to roll what die? And so if you just want to get hit somebody with a real quick 5-minute explanation, sorry about the spellcasting one, it's a little long, but those are great starters. So go check out DD5. You can find it on our YouTube channel. And that's all we got for you. I think we're going to call it a game.
I think it's time. Let's call it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
The Dungeon Cast.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about.
I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.